Mic on. Welcome to our time of worship this morning. A special big warm welcome to you if you're following us on Zoom online. We pray that we will collectively have a blessed time of worship together. Let us bow our heads in prayer before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we have gathered in your name. We've come from our busy, messy, broken lives seeking you, your peace, your joy, your love. Help us to encounter you this morning. Bless our time of worship and grant us willing ears to hear, open hearts to receive, and courage to worship in the Spirit. Help us to overcome our fears, our anxieties, and our distress, and anything that stands between us and your perfect love this morning. For we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So I thought I'd open with a verse this morning from Luke's Gospel. God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? And of course, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, we turn over the next fruit, or the next element of the spiritual fruit, which is faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, human beings, we actually quite naturally have faith because so much of our lives are out of control. They are unseen, aren't they? Without knowing or what's going to happen, we move forward with our lives, don't we? How else would we cope with all the unknown things in life? We know there are dangers in life. Without any kind of faith, we'd probably just want to stay at home and curl up under the duvet and not even get out of bed. We have to therefore exercise faith, trusting sometimes in other people. Many of you probably came to church this morning by car. You know, when you get behind the wheel of your car, you have faith that the other people that you meet on the road are going to be driving to the same set of rules that you are. Because if they're not, then we're going to start bumping into each other. We'll crash into each other. When I get sick, I go to the doctor and I put my faith in his training and in his ability, his experience even, to diagnose me with whatever condition I've got and prescribe me, hopefully, with something that's going to take away my ailment. Children place their faith in their parents to keep them safe and look after them, no matter what. Trouble is, we do crash into each other on the roads. Doctors make mistakes. They get it wrong. People let us down. And not all parents are worthy of their children's trust. In fact, all too often, not worthy of our faith at all. The Bible tells us we should put our faith in Jesus. Jesus cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. And the Bible is full of Jesus' promises. He does not change. He is perfect. His love for us, it never runs out. It never gives up. And he is the only one worthy of our complete trust and faith. He's perfect. The perfect parent. Always looking after us in ways seen and in ways we don't see. That's the God we have come to worship this morning. Is that the God you came to worship this morning? Oh, obviously not then. I'm here on my own. Sorry, Lord, but Is that the God you came to worship this morning? Yes, thank you. Yes, that's the God that we came to worship this morning. So, if Jesus returns this afternoon, if he returns this afternoon, what condition is he going to find your faith in? Will it be pointing to human origins? Will you be relying on the things of the world? Or will he find your faith pointing straight to him? That's a question that we can think about as we spend some time in worship, and the music group are going to come up, and we're going to spend some time worshiping through the medium of singing and music. Stand, sit, go wherever the Spirit leads you in this time of worship. Our first hymn is going to be "Open the Eyes of Our Hearts, Lord." Jesus, help us to put our trust, our faith in you alone. So much of our life is unknown to us, though. Through your presence of your Holy Spirit, give us the courage to walk in the light, to be brave and to follow you. Keep us from stumbling. Build up our faith. Remind us to call out on your name, Jesus, when life gets tough. For I know you are there for me. Let us be guided by your Spirit. Amen.
Keep my eyes above the waves. soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are
stand in your way, for you are the God of miracles. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated, everyone. And our young people, if you want to make your way, your Sunday social
meetings. Oh, now.
Today, all over the world, we are gathering in large groups and small, in different places and different languages, in buildings and schools, empty spaces and open fields, in our homes and on our phones. Some come together in freedom, while others have to meet in secret. Some will sing the old hymns, while others are singing something new. We'll all learn different things from the same Bible and worship the same God in different ways. We are the church, the body of Christ, different pieces molded together by the hand of God. Today, all over the world, we are gathering as one.
This year in our church, we are supporting the work of Open Doors. So we will be praying for that work, a number of short prayers. Every day, millions of Christians risk their lives, their safety, and their freedom because they follow Jesus. In over 70 countries, Open Doors supports them, supplying Bibles, providing emergency relief, and helping persecuted believers stand strong for the long term. The Open Doors prayer diary has a short prayer for each day. Today we are praying for a lady in Cameroon, a country on the west coast of Central Africa. We are calling her Ramata. It would be too dangerous to give her real name, but God knows who we are praying for. Ramata's husband was killed in an attack by the extremist group Boko Haram. Open Doors local partners gave her emergency aid and trauma care and provided her with support to set up a small business. Let us pray for her continued healing and peace. Lord, we pray for our sister Ramata. You said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Put your arm round Ramata. Comfort, strengthen and console her for the loss of her husband. Please, Lord, keep her safe against further attacks by Boko Haram. Thank you, Lord, that Open Doors agents are present in that situation. Keep them safe too. Please resource them so that they can help Ramata and other Christians in Cameroon. We pray that you will prosper and give success to Ramata's new business so that she can support herself and be able to give help to others. Strengthen her faith. Please give her your endurance. You said that we would be filled with your joy. Give joy to Ramata that will triumph over her sad loss, and grant that she may be able to help and encourage other Christians in her area. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This week, as a church fellowship, we are praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Libya, the fourth most dangerous country in the world, if you are a Christian. Let us pray for that. Lord Jesus, we pray for our family in Libya who follow you at such great risk to their lives and livelihood. We pray that you will show these secret believers that you are walking with them. We pray for peace in Libya, specifically that the tension between factions will not escalate into war, which would further endanger believers. Please open the door for converts to find life-giving community and to grow in their faith, despite the challenges they face. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for the work and witness of our own church fellowship. Almighty God, we praise you that we are free to meet together safely, to worship you in hymns and songs, to pray together or on our own, and to read, proclaim, and study your word without fear or danger. Thank you for all aspects of the worship and ministry of this church. Thank you for the fellowship and friendship we enjoy here. We pray for Nick and Dawn and for all our deacons. Give them wisdom and discernment and the time, energy, guidance and enthusiasm to do the tasks they have undertaken for you. We ask that you will bless our witness, both individually and through activities such as building blocks, Sunday social and the warm welcome space. Please keep these activities safe for all involved. Use us, O Lord, to win others for yourself and to show your love to those in need. Bless the many people we know in this fellowship and amongst our friends and family who are unwell or in pain, discomfort, loneliness, or unhappiness. We pray you will keep us faithful in prayer for them. Guide and call us and give us willingness to help if we are able to. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, a prayer for peace. Lord, we pray for peace in our world. Guide and overrule the words, intentions, motivations and actions of the leaders of the nations, that they may sincerely argue and honestly strive for peace. Particularly, we pray for a just, fair and lasting peace in Ukraine and in Gaza. And we pray that sufficient relief, medical supplies and rebuilding resources may become very rapidly available. And bless all your followers in these areas. Keep them safe, and may they have your strength and guidance to show your love, power, and provision as they help those around them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, John, for your passion and your prayers. Our reading this morning. Well, I've got two readings for you this morning. A short piece just to remind us of where we're looking at these fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. And then we'll move on to another story. But Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And a story from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 14. Many of you will be familiar with this story. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to be by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And I pray that the Lord will open understanding to his red words this morning. So we've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Should keep it in the singular. Because the fruit of the Spirit are a collection of attributes that reflect the presence of Jesus within the believer's heart. Paul gives them as a contrast or a comparison, doesn't he? Here's what a believer looks like. Here's what an unbeliever looks like. They are not individually wrapped presents like you might get under a Christmas tree that we might open and enjoy. Neither are they like clothes that the Christian can put on and then take them off depending on where the circumstances pleases them. No. Paul calls us to live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit in every part of our lives. They are a gift that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They are a package deal, each characteristic supporting the other. Like stones in an archway. Oh look, I'm standing beneath a stone archway. If you take any of those stones out of that archway, well, it's not going to end well for me because I'm standing under it. But if you take any of those stones out, the wall falls down. Each one of those stones is connected with the other and holding up the wall above it and around it. Together they bear the load of the weight pressing down upon them. The oddest thing, of course, is that these stones in this archway, they need the weight of the wall above it and around it in order to give it strength. If you take the wall away, the arch becomes very wobbly. So too, these spiritually magnified characteristics that Paul talks about bear the load of the Christian life, with all of its trials and its struggles, with its disappointments, its griefs, persecutions. The Bible does not promise us a Christian life that is made easy, but one that will be put to the test. What did Jesus say to his disciples on one occasion? If any of you wants to follow me, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, your old life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. As we look at faithfulness in particular this morning, the central character, Peter, in our second Bible reading, who is always willing, isn't he, Peter, to leap where the others are a little bit more cautious, Peter is willing to leap out of the boat and into the storm. This is the same Peter who later writes in the scriptures, in his first letter, these words. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, he speaks from experience, doesn't he? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. These characteristics that come from Christ, they only really gain strength when they have to bear some kind of weight. That's what they're there for. That's why you're being given them, to sustain you, to hold you up under the struggles of life. As the disciples in the boat are battling the storm, a ghostly figure approaches and calls out to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here." There can be no greater words of comfort to the believer who is in the middle of difficulty, struggling or suffering than the words from Jesus, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Even if Jesus needs to walk on water to be by your side, he will. That's because he is love. And that's what love does. The Bible says that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor either angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what he's saying to you. Don't be afraid. I am here. Peter's response to Jesus calling to him, "Come on then, come here. Come to me," is one of faith. Jesus beckons Peter onto that water, and of course Peter's all too willing to get out of the boat. Peter's willing to put his faith into action. He's willing to put his faith to the test. And he walks on water. be kind of great, wouldn't it, for Peter if the story just stopped there, wouldn't it? But it doesn't, does it? And in a way, it's good that it doesn't stop there, because our lives don't just stop there, do they? Things happen. Stuff happens in life. It comes at us from all directions sometimes. We can't see it coming. We don't know when we're going to get sick. I woke up one morning in absolute agony and had all those problems with my appendix, as many of you know. Came from nowhere. No warning. We don't know what's going to happen. We have to stop and think about that for a moment. Peter is as scared as the others, but he is convinced into taking radical action because of his faith. Are we willing to get to take radical action because of our faith? Jesus said to the disciples on another occasion, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours." Now, we could do a whole sermon series on just that couple of verses alone, but what I want you to see this morning is this bigger picture that Jesus paints of how powerful faith in God can be. It was a radical thing to get out of that boat and walk on the water. Radical faith, radical miracle. But Jesus is calling out to you and to I today. From across the water, come to me. Jesus is crying out for radical believers with radical faith to do radical things. How's your faith? There's a question. How is your faith? Is it content to just tread water? To stand still? Don't rock the boat. The gospel story is one of radical believers following a radical teacher, doing miraculous things. Well, we're still part of that gospel story. Jesus is calling for radical believers who are willing to get out of the boat, to step into the storm, to be willing to face discomfort, and to stay focused on Jesus and nothing but Jesus. When Peter walks on the water, the waves and the wind don't stop. They blow even harder. They rage around him. Doubt creeps in to Peter's heart and mind. His focus is distracted from Jesus. And he begins to sink. As a Christian, have you ever been there? In that place? Feeling like you are sinking beneath all of the struggles in life? I know I have. I'm sure many of you have too. So at first glance, it looks like Peter's failing, doesn't it? But let's look at it from a different perspective. Because what does Peter then do in the face of this sinking, in the face of his struggling? What does he do? He cries out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord." You see, even in Peter's weakness, he knows where to go for strength. He knows who to have faith in. He knows who to trust. "Save me, Lord." In fact, it's only when Jesus brings Peter into a position of weakness that Peter learns where to go for that strength. Therefore, the tests and the struggles that we face are there for a purpose. Do not mistake my words. God does not inflict us with ailments and punishments and grueling, horrible things just to test your faith. No, the world does that all on its own, and we contribute to that in our sin. But Jesus takes the opportunity to strengthen our faith in those moments when we feel weak. What does Jesus do in this moment? Quite literally, he reaches down and he lifts him up, saying, "Why did you doubt me?" And we can see in that moment of doubt that Peter takes this opportunity to turn the coin of doubt and find on the other side faith. So let us learn then from Peter's success. That in our moments of fear, where we are filled with doubt, there is an opportunity to turn the coin of doubt and find faith. And be assured that Jesus will reach down, and just like he did Peter, he will grab us by the hand and lift us up. Let us be comforted and encouraged that even emboldened towards radical faith. And how will such faith be achieved? You're sitting there thinking. Well, the Bible tells us we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. It is all about Jesus. But we too can participate in the growth of our faith. We can read our scriptures on a daily basis. We can pray earnestly about everything. We can jealously and selfishly cultivate our relationship with Jesus, not letting any sin become a stumbling block between you and your relationship with Christ. Remember, Jesus endured the cross, disregarded its shame. Think about the hostility he suffered for sinful people like you and I. That way, we won't become weary and just give up. After all, we have not yet had to give up our lives in the struggle against sin. In Jesus' death, there is an opportunity. He has opened the door to salvation. He's saying to us, "Come to me. I will lift the burden of sin from your shoulders. I'm offering to transform your life. Will you believe in me?" The transformation that Jesus offers is comprehensive, a complete radical makeover of the heart, a rebirth, a new life. The old life being buried with Christ, and the birth of the believer resurrected with Christ. That's what the waters of baptism are about. Shouting good riddance to the old life of sin, the desires, and embracing the new life given by grace by Jesus' death on the cross. It is an eternal salvation from sin. It begins with a little faith. The Bible says God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And what kind of life? A life that reflects love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Forgot what the last one is. Yeah. A life that reflects these characteristics. A life that is held up in strength like an archway. So I ask you again for a second time this morning, as you saw on the video clip, if Jesus returns this afternoon, Will you be standing faithfully amongst his believers, or are you more comfortable staying in the boat? The boat is not that safe. It will be overcome by the storm. Are you putting your faith and your hope in things of this world, or are you pinning all your hopes on Jesus and for the next life? As a church, what will Jesus find we have been doing while we have been waiting for him? That was the last question. What will he find that we've been doing while we've been waiting for him? Are we ready to get out of the boat together? Put our faith in Jesus, trusting in him alone, and see what miraculous things he has prepared for us to do. Good things that demonstrate his love and his kindness to those that have not met him yet. It seems sort of strange sometimes, I think, for us as Christians, that there are so many people that have not met Jesus. It's crazy, isn't it? In a world where someone can post something on the opposite side of the world and within split second it can appear on my phone and I can see it, and yet so many people have not met Jesus. So as a church, what are we going to do in the meantime while we wait for Jesus to return? Something for us to think about. Because as we sang in the song earlier, my God, that is who you are. A miracle worker. He wants radical believers to have faith in a radical vision that presents and introduces Jesus to everyone. Are we ready to get out the boat? Are we ready to have faith? That means, like Peter, we'll leap out. Well, that's something only you can answer. Remember what Jesus paid for us to have that opportunity to serve him, to receive his love, to love him in return. Remember what he did. We're going to come around the table in a moment, and Brian's going to come and play for us now. We're going to come around the table and we're going to remember what Jesus has done for each one of us. But I want us also to think about how we might be brave enough and courageous enough as a church to take on a radical vision of the future life of this church, that it might shine even more brightly out into a dark world that is crying out. Even though it doesn't realize it, it is crying out, save me, Lord. They just don't know who to turn to. It's our job to go and introduce him. We serve a faithful, unchanging God. And we're going to sing together, Faithful One, So Unchanging. And then we're going to gather around the table.
Thank you.
we take some time now to gather around the Lord's table. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. We are invited to come together around this table as those who belong to the household of Christ, brothers and sisters who in our baptized lives live out the death and resurrection of Jesus. The family of the reborn and the reconciled who inhabit a universe of grace. And we say a prayer of confession together. I will read the unbold text and you can join in with the bold text as it comes. Remembering the death and resurrection of the one who is our life and our meaning, we come first to die to all that is loveless and death-dealing in our lives. Jesus commands us to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. My brothers and sisters, I have not kept this commandment. Forgive my godlessness and pray for me that God will light the fire of his love in my heart. Jesus commands us to love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. I have been selfish, hard-hearted, and mean-spirited. Forgive me, my friends, and pray that God's grace will melt and warm my heart. The Lord has promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you desire this grace and cleansing? Without it, there is no hope for me. Our Lord has warned that those who ask for forgiveness themselves must also practice forgiveness. Are you prepared to be generous and forgiving to those who have hurt you? And to let go of all bitterness. I am, but I will need God's help and yours. Jesus is our peace. He has reconciled those who were divided through his body on the cross. He came and preached peace to everyone, from near and far, because it is through him that we all can come to the Father in the one Spirit. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If my two servers would please come and join me. As Jesus shared his last supper with his faithful disciples, he broke the bread and he shared it around the table. We are joining them in the sharing of bread. this broken bread we share is the body of Christ. It is a sign of all that we live and risk together as the community of Christ. Let all who seek Christ take and eat. And we eat as we receive the bread. After the supper, Jesus took a cup filled with wine and he passed it around the table with his disciples. This cup we drink together is the wine of the kingdom of God, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. Let all who seek Christ take and drink. We retain the cup and then we will all drink together as a sign of our unity. We drink together as a sign of the new covenant until Jesus comes again. Amen. We have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. May these eyes see those who are overlooked, and may these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for the voiceless, lest our songs of praise be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads, and may these hearts and minds be open to your spirit. Christ has remembered us. May we remember Christ. Amen. And we're going to sing our final hymn together. What else on a day talking about faithfulness other than great is thy faithfulness?
Thank you.
now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. And please stay and enjoy tea, coffee, and fellowship together after the service.